Good morning and welcome again to High School Sunday. If this is your first time at BCF, I hope you picked up. We don't do this every Sunday. I invite you to return next week for a more representative service. I speak for all the high school adult leaders that we count it a privilege to be part of God's work here at BCF. I thank you for your encouragement, your prayers, and your donations that make this ministry possible. We seek to mix food and small group relationships, music, and the truth of God's Word to build friendships among teens and encourage them in their faith. All high schoolers are welcome to join us at Sunday School in 217 and other events. Let me pray for us as we look into God's Word this morning. Lord, as we come to your Word, which is our authority, our guide, our only true source of truth, Lord, we come and I pray that we would have humble hearts, we would have open ears, we would have open eyes as you speak to us through your Word. I pray you would guide my lips and my heart, that they would be yours for your glory. And we pray in for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The farm pictured behind me was a big part of my life as a teenager. Our nearest neighbor was 3/4 of a mile away, and there were far more cows in our side of the county than there were people. When I was a teen, my dad owned 40 to 50 beef cattle. Calving time was in the spring, so by the fall, these calves were large enough to be weaned or removed from their mother's milk. On a Saturday morning in the fall, calves would be separated from their mother and moved to one end of the farm, and cows to the other end of the farm. For the next 2 to 3 nights, there was constant cow communication. Mother calling for calf, and calf calling for mother. If someone happened to be spending the night with us, we would warn them that they might not get a lot of sleep that evening because of all the noise. If some of the cows were interviewed by the local media, you might hear phrases like, "If I ran this farm, things would be different." Or, "Whoever runs this farm doesn't know what they are doing." Or, "I don't understand." Or, "I demand my rights." Or, "I'm really angry at Mr. Kelly, my dad." The reality was, this painful separation for the cows was in their best interest, but more importantly, was according to the plan and purposes of my dad, their owner. Their life, especially at this time, would make no sense until they understood who was in control and his purposes and plans. This story sometimes illustrates our own thoughts about God's ways with us. We may come to God crying or angry, questioning his purposes, and even doubting his love for us. Life has taken a strange turn, and we don't understand. However, different from my story about the cows, God can communicate with us his purposes for our life. I would like to look this morning at a passage at the end of Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The book of Romans in the beginning chapters covers our great need for righteousness, for being right with God, for being cleansed, then God's provision in Christ for our righteousness before him. And then Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 explain God's sovereign way with the Jews, his chosen people, and the salvation of the Gentiles. Then at the end of chapter 11, Paul, like a mountain climber who has reached the summit, pauses and offers a crescendo of praise to God for his wisdom that is so deep that it's unfathomable. It's impossible for us to comprehend. and that God owes no man anything. He is the ultimate giver, the source and supplier of everything. Ending in verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." For the next few minutes, I would like to consider these truths. The first, "For from him are all things." All things, everything, has its beginning in God. Our ability to sit here this morning and discuss these issues comes from God. When God revealed himself to Job, he began with this truth. "Where were you when I made the earth? Were you there when I formed the heavens? Who do you think created the vast array of animals with all of their distinct ways? Who brings out the stars every evening and designed the laws of the heavens?" In the last 100 years, we've learned much about this creation. The best minds of today tell us that the universe actually came from nothing, just as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 stated hundreds of years before. Physicists today tell us that time had a beginning, just as God inspired Paul to write in the first century in 2 Timothy 1 and Titus 1. As Edwin Hubble discovered 90 years ago, the heavens are expanding or stretching out, much like a balloon that would stretch out as it's blown up. So in the Old Testament, there are 11 references that talk about God stretching out the heavens. The laws of the heavens that God asked Job about, we now know are so perfectly fine-tuned that scientists explain it in terms of throwing a dart completely across the universe and hitting a bullseye. Truly, the heavens do declare God's glory. As my wife can tell you, I come from a long line of treasure collectors. Treasured commodities such as old carburetors, antique engines, and tools of all types filled the large shop of my grandfather when I was a boy. It was a big play yard that I spent many hours in as a youngster. I could explore and take things apart to my heart's content. One of the inventions that intrigued me the most was a manual transmission with all of its gears and design. I wondered, how could someone be so smart and able to invent something so complicated? I intuitively knew that this complicated machine had a designer. Some of you sitting here this morning are spending your life understanding the intricate and complicated machinery of life, of nano-sized motors, of molecular transport systems, of electrical and chemical communication systems within our bodies, and of gigantic blueprints of information stored within each of our cells, our living brain cells that perform calculations like supercomputers. A study at Stanford University made an amazing discovery just a few months ago in the ability to actually observe brain synapses in a living brain. These connections are so densely packed that there are 125 trillion of them just in the outside layer of our brain. To quote one of the authors of this study, "The brain's overall complexity is almost beyond belief. One synapse by itself is more like a microprocessor with both memory storage and information processing elements, more than a mere on or off switch. In fact, one synapse may contain on the order of 1,000 molecular switches. A single human brain has more switches than all of the computers and internet connections in the earth." As a boy, I intuitively knew that a car transmission had to be invented by very smart people. So when we look at the complexity and wonder of the created world, should we not also come to the same conclusion? Everything is from God, not just the beauty and complexity of a living world, but also the laws and principles of how we should live. Justice, ethics, authority, relationships, What is right and wrong, how we are to relate to each other, all has its definition in God's design. If your marriage doesn't seem to be working, maybe you should seriously seek out the blueprint of God's design for your relationship. If you notice your moral compass is beginning to drift, that is, you're not sure anymore what is right and what is wrong, then the one who created it all can tell you. This is especially relevant in today's culture that is so sex-crazed. Your mind, your job, your gifts and abilities, your car, your money, it does not belong to you. It is all on loan from God. If your life is a disaster this morning, you don't like where you're heading, and you can't stand the guilt of looking behind you at what you've done, there is one waiting for you to look up and ask Him for help, even right now. For God is also the creator and source of all life, all new life. A life where your eyes are opened for the first time to His reality. He is ready to create a totally new you, a new you washed from the guilt of sin, a life of real meaning and real hope. From Him are all things. Why do we search in so many other places for answers in life when we can go to the source, the one who made it all? There is no thought that He does not know, for He made us. There is no decision that we ever walk into that we need to make alone, for He created every circumstance that comes into our life. The next phrase in verse 36 is, through Him all things. Through Him. The other meanings of the original word used here are by means of or on account of. In other words, He is in control. Through this passage and others, we uncover the truth that the God of the Bible is the God who is the supreme and permanent authority, the sovereign one, completely in control. This is one of the deepest mysteries that we read in the Bible. How can all things be controlled by God, yet we have freedom to choose, and we are held responsible for those choices? The Bible says that God determines the times set for men and the exact places where they should live. He wrote all the days of my life in a book before I was born, and He planned good deeds for me before I do them. He chose the Jews. He chose the prophets and patriarchs of old. He chooses earthly authorities today. And in His mercy, He chooses men and women to be His children. As someone has said, if you don't believe God is the sovereign one determining who is being saved, you must believe that it's your job. It is a great mystery. But yet this is what the Bible teaches. We must hold these truths in one hand, and in the other hand, hold the truth of Romans 10:13, which says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Donald Gray Barnhouse used an illustration where he would ask people to imagine a huge cross with a door in it. The door was so large that you could walk through it. Over the door were the words of Revelation. Whosoever will may come. These represent God's free offer of the gospel. By God's grace, the message of salvation is open for everyone. Anyone who will come to the cross is invited to enter. On the other side of the door, a happy surprise awaits the one who believes and enters. From the inside, anyone looking back can see the words from Ephesians written on the door, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But there is another aspect of the truth that God is in control, and that is nothing comes into our life apart from the plan of God. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father. Not a cell in your body, nor the orbit of a planet is out of His control. There is great comfort in the assurance that every detail of life comes through God's hands. God does not make mistakes. And every trial has a divine purpose. The purpose may be to grow in obedience, our humility, our dependence. If Christ learned obedience from what He suffered, how much more do we need to learn obedience too? Psalm 131 talks about a child that was recently weaned from its mother. A child that does not understand the purposes of his mother, yet humbly and quietly trusts in her love. Reading from Psalm 131, "My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." So we can know the heart of God for us in the middle of a trial. Our soul can be comforted as we humbly trust in our loving Heavenly Father's purposes. And finally, from verse 36, all things are to God. Heaven's worship song is worthy is the Lamb, as all created things bow down before Him, declaring His worth. God has chosen us as His treasured possession, but we are really incidental in His real purpose. Our salvation is primarily for the honor of the Son. When we become a believer, a change will start in our thinking. Our life that was once before all about me, now we realize our life and its direction should be all about God. Our eyes are open to the reality of the truths of Romans 11:36. We see the futility and the emptiness, the insanity of our previous life before Christ. A very powerful ruler once learned these same truths, but learned them in a much different way. And the Bible records the story of a king named Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. As the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon, he said, "Is not this great Babylon I have built as my royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And we know that he went insane for the next 7 years. God gives us this story as if to say, anyone who thinks he or she is the center of the universe is spiritually insane. A person who thinks like this is out of his or her mind. Pride is just another form of the spiritual insanity. Pride is behaving as if we were God, denying our due dependence on God, and pretending that all things depended on us. After God restored Nebuchadnezzar's sanity, Nebuchadnezzar said, "God's dominion is eternal. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" It is because all things are from, through, and to God that the glory must be His alone. So as we comprehend these truths of God's Word, may our cry also be, "To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Thank you. I'd like for us to spend a few minutes before God in prayer, just reflecting on these truths. And in a few minutes, we'll see a video of the high school ministry, and we'll close with that. Lord, wherever we are with You, these truths directly affect every aspect of our life. until we line up with your purposes, with your plan, with your design, life will be futile. It is futile. We will be acting as if we were insane. Lord, help us to humbly remember that everything we have comes from you, that everything in this universe points to you and for your glory, that until we understand that, until we live our lives like that, we will be apart from you and your will.